Did you miss the headline and the top story of the day?
Extra, extra, read all about it.
Don't worry, because we got you covered.
This is how we do.
It's the Cattles and Rami
Top Spot.
All righty. Before we get to this Western Conference whip around that we want to do. Kings lose to the Timberwolves last night, as we all know by now, unless you've been living under a rock. 119-115. Kings 45-30 on the season. They are still the third seed, 2.5 games back of Memphis. They are 5 games up on Phoenix. Minnesota, meanwhile, 39-37, 6th seed in the West, 4 wins in a row. And Rami, last night, it was a pretty difficult matchup for the Kings.
Yes, it was. And it raised some concerns for me, Nick, in not just about last night, but we talked later in the show about this Timberwolves team and what kind of matchup they are for the Kings and kind of exposing some of their weaknesses with their size, with their physicality, with the way they can slow a game down. You've made me feel better about the loss as the show has gone on.
You're welcome.
With some of the points that you've made, that some of the stuff that we saw last night is not what you're used to seeing from the Kings in terms of the bad, and some of the stuff we saw last night is not what you're going to usually get from the Timberwolves in terms of the good, how well they shot the ball, especially to start the game. They're not the greatest matchup for the Kings when you look around the Western Conference.
No.
But maybe, just maybe, I was overreacting to that loss last night and how much it means in the big picture last night and coming into the show today. You've calmed some of those concerns, Nick.
You know, when you look at how this all came together last night, Keegan had an off night. Herter was in some foul trouble. He was in and out of the game. I thought Coach Brown should have sat Herter after his 4th foul, by the way. I thought that was a miscalculation. And I've watched every game this year. I understand that Coach Brown has taken that risk multiple times with Domas and some other players throughout this season. But I just thought it was ill-advised how early Herter picked up that 4th to leave him out there. Backfired. He picked up his 5th. He had to sit him after playing just 19 and a half minutes, and he had to wait to come back into the 4th quarter. But with all of that said, I mean, the others didn't play well the first three quarters. I mean, the first 3 quarters, Monk had 4 points. Herter had 5 points. Keegan had 3 points for the game. Lyles, the first 3 quarters, had 3 points. You were getting almost nothing from the others.
Yeah.
This was a game where Domas and Fox carried you through those first 3 quarters. And it's a shame. It's a shame that, you know, look, Monk and Herter played better in the 4th. They both had 8 points. It's a shame that Keegan could not make 1 or 2 more threes. It's a shame that Lyles couldn't get cooking a little bit more. But these things happen. And I don't want to just say, oh, we'll overlook it. But somewhat of a perfect storm. And then the other part of that was it's a really difficult matchup for the Kings, as we've mentioned. So hopefully tomorrow night, Portland, look, Portland's bad. You get a chance to play Portland twice in 3 nights up in Portland. Dame Dollar will be out. Hopefully that will get you back on track before you enter into a pretty rough ending of your regular season schedule.
Really wanted him to get that clincher in front of Kings fans, though.
Yeah,
what, at Golden One Center. They deserve that.
Like, man, it was disappointing. I mean, it's not the end of the world, but it was certainly disappointing. We all wanted to see that moment. We all wanted to see, you know, everybody going crazy and loving it in the stands. And you could tell the crowd really wanted it last night. They were loud from the tip. But it just, you know, hey, this isn't a movie. Things don't always go perfectly. And last night didn't happen. So now you might clinch on a random Tuesday night when the team's not playing.
They're not even playing. That takes some of the oomph out of it, doesn't it? It's a little anticlimactic,
oh,
especially if they're not playing.
Of course. Let's just get to the rest of the Western Conference here and what happened last night. So the Suns beat the Jazz. Of course, as part of the clinch scenario, you could either win your game last night or you needed the Suns to lose or the Clippers to lose. Suns did not lose. They beat Utah 117-103. And it really wasn't one of those games where, like, any one particular person stood out. Booker had 24 points, but the Suns had 5 guys in double digits. So that's how they won this game. 5 guys in double digits. Markkanen was back for the Jazz. Didn't matter. They still lost by 14 at home. Phoenix is 5 games behind the Kings. So 5 games back. It is official, Rami. according to multiple reports, Kevin Durant will be back tomorrow for the Suns. And look, man, with KD back, it's a different basketball team. With KD, they played really, really well. And as we talked about at the trade deadline, you add a healthy Kevin Durant to the Suns, even though they moved other pieces and Bridges is like going off for Brooklyn. But you put Kevin Durant on this team is as scary as anybody in the NBA.
I was going to are they still the scariest team in the West to you?
Because
they are to me.
Yeah, with a healthy KD, yes.
Yeah. I mean, I don't, we just talked about the matchup and the problems that the Wolves present. I look at matchups, but at the end of the day, I look at star power. And yeah. I don't know that there's any star power shining brighter in the Western Conference, zero pun intended, than the Phoenix Suns right now and what they have with KD, Devin Booker, Chris Paul, or Chris. Yeah, it's Chris. I had the right.
Yeah, you got it. CP3.
CP3.
I will say the Clippers are, you know, when Kawhi had it going for about a couple of weeks, and if you look at the Clippers with Kawhi in the lineup, they've been just much better than with him out of the lineup. If he can stay healthy and they get Paul George back, I still think that's a team that could do some damage with its depth.
Such
as well.
A big if at this point.
It is.
You know what I mean? I hate that because I like watching Kawhi Leonard play basketball, but that's just the reality of the situation. And Paul George, too. The reality of the situation is those guys have not been able to stay on the court for a while.
Speaking of the Clippers, your Chicago Bulls couldn't come through last night for the Kings, Rami.
Don't count on the Bulls to do stuff.
The Clips beat Chicago 124-112. Kawhi, Eric Gordon, and Nicholas Batum all scored 20-plus points in last night's game against Chicago. So Gordon and Batum having somewhat of a renaissance last night against the Bulls. And look, the Clippers, they're fighting. They're scratching, they're clawing. They're a half game back of Phoenix for the four seed. So they're not dead yet. And I think with the additions they made at the trade deadline, still don't know why they added Russell Westbrook. They needed a point guard who could kind of just get into the offense and then hit an occasional three. Westbrook's not that guy, but maybe it'll work out for them. Still think they're dangerous. I'm still, you know, Kawhi, man, he's gone on some pretty crazy runs. So he's always capable if he's healthy. And as Rami said, that's a big, big if.
Huge if.
Meanwhile, the Mavericks, for one night, got back on track. They beat the Pacers 127-104. I do not think this is some great panacea kind of win for the Mavericks, though. Let's not get it twisted. The Pacers did not have Tyrese Halliburton last night. The Pacers did not have Miles Turner last night. The Pacers did not have Buddy Hield last night. So three of their best players did not play. I would venture to guess that's why the Mavericks beat the Pacers by more than 20.
I said it the day they made the Kyrie trade, and they've done nothing to prove me wrong or make me change my mind. That thing will not work in Dallas. That will blow up in their face.
I mean, look, defensively, they're not going to get any better. We know what they are defensively. Luka doesn't play defense. He doesn't have much interest in it. Kyrie doesn't play defense. And then when he plays defense, he tries to play hero defense, which is hilarious. He tries to defend like the best player on the team, and he gets stomped. So he's got one of those, I'll put the cape on, fellas, just watch me. And then he gets run over. It's comical. But defensively, they're bad. Offensively, I still think that they can score a lot of points, obviously, with Kyrie and Luka. But, you know, Luka's an ISO machine. And, you know, can Luka work with Kyrie in a postseason? Kyrie's proven that he can knock down big shots in big moments. That's his role. Luka's done a lot of the same, though. So I'm still eager to see if they get into the playoffs, which is an if at this point. But if they get there, you know, who gets that last shot? And is that going to be a whole thing? It could be. If you're wondering, Dallas is currently the 11th seed. They're two games back of Minnesota. Minnesota now the 6th seed as they climb up. Denver beat Philly. Whatever. Joel Embiid did not play because he doesn't like fun things, apparently, during the regular season. He played a back-to-back over the weekend. Don't tell me he's banged up. This was load management 101. So sure. Everybody was looking forward to Joker versus Embiid. Joker played. Embiid did not. Denver won. The Pelicans beat Portland. Portland's dead. We talked about Dame Dollar earlier. He's going to be out for the rest of the year. They're sitting him. He's donezo. So Portland has nothing to play for. They're trying to lose because one of their picks is protected. So they want a top pick in the draft so they don't have to trade that pick away. Tonight, the big game, Rami, is actually there's really one game that we all need to pay attention to, and that is the Pelicans. The Pelicans on a back-to-back. They beat Portland last night, as I mentioned. Now they go to Golden State. It is the Pelicans versus the Warriors. If the Warriors lose, you clinch.
And they are in. That's your magic number. Yep. Drum roll, please.
I mean, you didn't have JJ Redd.
One. The magic number is one.
Wow.
Yes.
Amazing.
No problem.
So, Golden State loses. You have the very anticlimactic clinch not playing. But I don't think any of us care. Look, it would have been great last night. But a clinch is a clinch. A playoff berth is a playoff berth. And when you haven't been there for 17 calendar years, giddy up.
I was just want your guys' thoughts on this. Jay, you too, please. I was at an establishment Friday night, just having a cocktail after dinner. And the bartender just had all the facts wrong. They had the Kings game on, and he's talking to a guy at the bar. Oh, if they win tonight, they clinch a playoff spot.
Oh, no.
First one in 18 years.
He's not used to this.
Would you have been the guy to actually... No, actually, would you have been that guy to correct the bartender and interject yourself in that conversation?
Because
I stopped myself. Let him have it.
I don't do that.
Right? Just let him have it, right? Yep. Okay.
If somebody's being obnoxious about it, and I can put them in the place a little bit, maybe I'll think about it. But if it's just an innocent, bartender hanging out.
Yeah.
Dominating out.
Nick's going dominating out.
I mean, maybe you pull him aside. I don't know.
Hey, man,
you can write
wrong.
On the check.
Write it on the tip.
Write it on the tip. Like
he had the clinching wrong and the number of years since they played in the playoffs. He had it all wrong.
You know, I find this, and I know you guys get this. If people find out where you work or what you do, it's like you become the dictionary. They want you to give every piece of sports epitome that you could possibly get. So I never really let people know what I do.
You sit it out, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
You sit it out.
If you don't recognize or don't, can't see me by the voice, and forget it.
I'm on a group chat with some of my old friends going all the way back to high school, some further than that. And every once in a while, somebody will just shout out somebody else on the chat just to get somebody just be like, Rami, just to get my attention. And every time they do that, I know a sports question is following. As soon as I'm like, what's up? I know a sports question is following.
I don't want to sound like, because people could take this the wrong way. Oh, you're a big deal, huh? No. But I do, even when you go to the dentist or when you go to the doctor or any small talk.
Dude.
Uber. Yes. So what do you do for a living?
I'm a janitor. That's what I go to.
Is it?
Yeah, I'm a janitor, man, custodian.
I can never lie.
Work for the city.
I always just say radio. But I know the follow-ups come. Oh, what are you doing radio?
Couple of dudes.
Salesman.
Years back.
I should say, I'll work in sales. Work in sales.
Years back, a couple of dudes that worked at the gym that I went to, they found out what I did. And the gym is heavily male dominated,
grunting, sweating, pumping iron, and talking sports and
fans. I could not. I just wanted to go get a workout in, dude. I couldn't go to the gym and leave without somebody stopping me and wanting to do a show. So eventually, I just started putting headphones in before I even walked in the door. And that's the universal.
You became antisocial guy.
Don't talk to me.
Yeah.
The headphones in the ears are the universal don't talk to me. Yeah. I had to, though.
You have
I just wanted to get a workout in, man.
All right. Who's the latest to welcome a Kings playoff matchup?
Keep this body chiseled.
Find out in 90 seconds.
Cattles and Robbie. Sacktown Sports.
This is what Rami listens to in his headphones when he's walking into the gym, thinking about working on his shoulders that day. Shoulder day, ladies. Shoulder day.
Today was back, shoulders, and biceps. This thing is firm, man.
Magic mic time. You know what I mean?
Just getting some work in, ladies. Just getting some work in.
This doesn't just happen, you know? This type of physique.
Get a work on that.
This body doesn't just happen, guys.
Lots of work put in
there. Hard work, dedication, sacrifice.
So I don't know if I'd say teams are angling, but it feels like teams are angling for the Kings in the playoffs. Let's jump into the hot tub time machine going several weeks back. Brian Windhorst at ESPN was talking about the Lakers and their playoff scenarios and all of that. And here's what Windy said at the time about who the Lakers are kind of eyeing as far as a first-round matchup.
their schedule gives them a window to make something possible. And the reason that they are, that Darvinham is talking about sixth, is that they're targeting the Sacramento Kings. The Sacramento Kings are in third. I think they're very likely to finish third. That's the team that they want in the first round, an inexperienced team. That's their dream scenario. If you're a Laker fan, you're dreaming of somehow getting to sixth against the Kings, because you could end up in a tougher situation if you fight, if you fall elsewhere on the bracket.
All right, so
I literally LOL'd when I heard him say that.
Yeah, so Wendy saying, oh, well, you know, Darvinham looking at that six seed.
Bring on the Kings.
You got the Kings. Then we had Zach Lowe's article a week or two ago. It was a fantastic article about the Kings and how they've been rejuvenated, Domas's trade, all that good stuff. But within that article, within that column from Zach, who's very good at what he does, he mentioned that Western teams respect the Kings, but they don't fear the Kings. So again, it's this idea of, yeah, we're not really bothered by that matchup. You know, the Lakers are looking at it. Hey, if we finish sixth, we got the Kings third. We wouldn't mind that. It's other people talking to Zach Lowe. Yeah, you know what? The Kings are having a great season. We respect them, but if we played them in the playoffs, we wouldn't necessarily fear those guys. And then we have Draymond Green, who was the most recent. Here is Draymond on his podcast.
Upset at if the standings shook out how they did today and we met Sacramento in the first round. Not because I think Sacramento is a weak team, because the travel is so much easier. If you think about our road to winning the championship last year, the only place we can fly and get to in 45 minutes in the Western Conference is Sacramento. The reason why I said Sac is simply just because of the travel. That's a lot on your body. If we could bus ride an hour and 10 minutes up the way, like, I just think that's much better for us. Now, Sac is playing well and very good team. But just from the travel, at the end of the day, I don't really care who we play in the playoffs. I think we can win.
All right. Whether or not you believe Draymond, I don't know.
I do. I think he really thinks that way.
Because was it Dre and LeBron before the season when they on LeBron's show and podcast or whatever the Undisputed and whatever it's called?
One in the barbershop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they were laughing about Sacramento. They're like, "Oh, Sacramento." So
he gave respect to him though then at the same time.
He did somewhat. He did. But Rami, do you think teams are welcoming the Kings? Do you think other teams in the Western Conference are looking at them going, yeah, they've had a good year, but ...
I think the respect, not fear statement holds true. I think that carries a lot of weight, the respect, not fear. And quite frankly, some guys might not even respect them. You know what I mean? Nick, our brains are conditioned. We get wired to think certain things, you know, to just associate good or bad with certain things. And
right.
I think that for a lot of people, not us, not for Sacramento Kings fans, people following this team on a day-to-day basis, but for a lot of people, it's a case of shaking that stigma, that association, whatever it is, and you won't get full respect
right
from a lot of people around this league until you show it, until you go to the postseason and show it,
until you earn it.
There are people who are singing the Kings praises right now who, when we get to the playoffs, they hit the reset button and you have to prove it to them all over again that you weren't just a good regular season team,
right,
and you're actually somebody that deserves some attention, some respect in this league. And that's just the way it's always been. I'm not going to sit here and tell you it's fair, it's not fair, people are underrating them, overrating them. That's just the way it's always been and the way it'll always be, like it or not.
You know, no matter how badly Kings fans and people who cover the team like us want them to be respected for what they've done this regular season and appreciated for being a really good team, this does make sense. If you're in the NBA, if you've, you know, gone through the quote-unquote grind, and I would look at it as an opportunity if I'm the Kings. I would not look at it as disrespectful that they don't fear you. I wouldn't look at it as, oh, well, you know, they don't believe in us. No, it's you got to prove it, and that's the opportunity. And I bet you Coach Brown feels the same exact way, where it's like, look, If they don't fear us, that's an opportunity for us to make them fear us. We will show them why they should fear us. Mm-hmm. It's not just about travel. It's about, hey, man, when you walk into this arena at the G1C, you're going to hear a loud, passionate crowd. And
it's
we
a
are
hard
gonna
place
give
to
you,
play.
We're going to give you the business. As much business as we can give you, we're going to give it to you that night and through that series.
Maybe so, make people think, I'd rather travel a couple extra hours than play that team in that place.
Right, because if you're Kawhi, look, it's not how Rami and I feel, right? It's about how guys in the league perceive the team and how they see the matchup. If you're Kawhi, Kawhi looks at the Kings and he says, you've got three guys on that team that have been in the playoffs. Now, Kevin Huerter had a huge game 7 against Philly a couple years ago. It's a fantastic moment. He's proven he could do some big things in a big moment. You know, HB's been there with the Warriors and stuff back in the day, right? And Domas also had a trip or two. But if you're Kawhi, you're looking at the Kings as a team that's inexperienced. You're looking at a team that hasn't faced all the challenges that come with the postseason. So I think first and foremost, you kind of look at the teams that have been there, done that. And once you get past those teams, you start looking at the newbies, so to speak. And the newbies are the ones that have to earn that fear factor if you're somebody like Kawhi or KD or even Jokic, who's made a Western Conference Finals.
Yep.
That's just the way it works. And, you know, I think also teams look at the Kings and they say, we can score on them. They're not very good defensively. The Kings are not the most physical team. They're not the biggest team, right? We've talked about the size all day today because that Minnesota matchup. So it's not to say that it's going to be easy to beat the Kings. It's just this idea of out of the teams that we could face, you got to do the checkmark game when you do an NFL pregame with like, oh, this goes, check that box, check that box. That's what guys are doing in the league. And they go, okay, which team is the most inexperienced? The Kings, check. Which team, you know, hasn't played good defense this year versus some of these other teams? The Kings are on that list, check. Okay, like, which team is physical? Which team is going to try to beat us up? The Kings are not on that list right now. They don't try to beat you up. They don't out-physical you, right? Which team is long and tough to deal with and just uncomfortable to play? The Kings are uncomfortable to play because they're going to push pace on you, they're going to score points, and because they have guys that compete hard every single night. But if you're looking at some of these other, you know, qualities, characteristics of teams that you're going to be looking at playing in the postseason, yeah, that's where the Kings come up. They are inexperienced. They have been bad defensively. They're not super physical. Like, that's just the truth. It's just the truth.
Nick, I think people are still looking at Denver as a team that maybe they respect, don't fear. You know what I mean? And they have a back-to-back MVP and just went to the Western Conference Finals last year. I think you ask most guys around the Western Conference about Denver, and they fall into that same respect, don't fear category because they haven't necessarily been there and done that and proven to the league that there's something to fear, that's some place or a team that you go and face, and it's tougher than it is your regular NBA assignment on any given night.
Fear is not given. Fear is earned.
Yep.
And that's why I say it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity for the Kings to earn that fear from other teams. When they see you play in the playoffs and they say, okay, you win a playoff series. These guys are pretty tough. You got to earn that fear factor. Up next, the callback.
I'm going to light up these phone lines.
The phone is ringing,
and we are checking to see who's on the line.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
News, gossip, a story.
Okay, who's the next victim?
It's the callback
on Cattles and Rami.
Before we get to the callback, just want to mention this. YouTube.com, Sactown Sports 1140. Tillman, former Sacramento Kings usher, jumped into the chat today. This was a while ago. Tillman's probably no longer listening. This is a couple hours ago. Said, I'm still sour that my Doco Locos phrase never caught on. Cattles was giving away free tickets to a game a while back, was trying to find the best nickname for the Kings bench. And he had the Doco Locos.
And well, because it doesn't make sense for the bench. It would make sense for the, you know, Sacramento Kings faithful, the people going out to Doco. I don't think it makes sense for the bench.
He's just still sour.
You know what I thought?
And Brian Jones said that he loved Doco Loco.
What I thought would catch on is City of Threes.
Yeah.
I love that. That was pretty good.
I mean, let's be honest. We really did not do anything as a show to push any
nothing.
Of these.
No, nothing at all.
We did a good job that day.
Yes, and then I don't even remember what we picked. Don't even recall. Never used it again.
It was a tweet.
Yeah.
I know that. It was a tweet to me specifically.
I don't remember what the nickname was.
We just didn't do it. We talk about stuff behind the scenes all the time. We've had T-shirt ideas. We got this, we got that. And then it just, life happened.
But
that was a great idea 4 weeks ago.
Have we tried to get Vivek on the show for me to pitch 16 beams?
He's dealing with pneumonia right now.
Oh, is he? Okay. I'm not letting that one go. 16 beams, the crown of beams. On top of Golden One Center.
I mean, you've got to be on the show a little bit more.
It's a brilliant idea.
Express.
I'm here now.
Okay.
I'm here now.
Just, you know, if you're doing one show a week, it's pretty difficult to pump it.
Sorry, my dog almost died.
I mean, you're...
All right. My bad.
Terrible.
My bad.
You're terrible.
Sorry.
You took a vacation.
It's so quiet in here.
You took a vacation day on Friday, sir. That was already booked.
Yes, I did.
And you took a vacation day yesterday, sir. That was already booked.
I had a vacation day today.
That had nothing to do with Oz.
Gave it right back.
Don't make me look like a heartless dog
hater.
Gave
it right back.
Love dogs.
I needed some R&R after dealing with a stressful situation.
So you went out on Friday and Saturday. All right, anyway.
Briefly. Very briefly.
Oh, okay.
Very briefly. Okay. Chris Verlade can attest. It was brief. So can Simone.
It's all right. It's okay. It's fine.
Very briefly.
Very briefly.
I couldn't get free coffee?
Very briefly. All right, let's get to the call back. Lincoln Kennedy joined us a little bit earlier on the show today on the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. First, we asked Lincoln about Jimmy G being the QB1, the chosen one as QB1 for the Las Vegas Raiders.
Well, it's something that's logical and made sense. You know, you have a quarterback who's familiar with your system. He's played for, you know, he's played for McDaniels before in New England. And look, for what it's worth, you know, you look at his win-loss and touchdown completion records, it's a natural choice. You didn't have to pay that as high a price as you would, say, Aaron Rodgers. Really, there weren't a whole lot of free agent options out there. I still expect the Raiders to make a move at quarterback in this year's draft. But right now, you've got a temporary fix with Jimmy G.
So, made logical sense, smart thing to do. We'll get to the draft thing a little bit later on, since Lincoln said he was he thinks that they could go quarterback in the draft as well. But Rami, logical, common sense to go Jimmy G for the Raiders?
I mean, yeah, in some ways, yes. Once you pulled the plug on Derek Carr and you were probably out of the Aaron Rodgers sweepstakes.
Darkness, everybody!
The darkness! At that point, yeah, I mean, Jimmy G made the most sense. I asked him if he thought it was an upgrade.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think it's an upgrade. If anything, it's a lateral move.
I don't think it's much of an upgrade.
At all. Yeah. If Jimmy G is a bridge quarterback and Josh McDaniels and Dave Ziegler have plans on going and getting who they think is the next guy, all right, it makes sense, but I it's logical, yes. Does it excite me, or should it excite Raiders fans? Nah, not even a little bit.
All right, let's jump to the draft part, JJ, since we pretty much just discussed the idea of consistency and Jimmy G versus Derek Carr. And Lincoln said, you know, Jimmy G, his only issue's been him getting hurt. I would disagree with that. That has been part of the issue. There have been other issues. He also talked about Jimmy G's decision-making. I don't think Jimmy G's decision-making has been great at all times either, but I digress. I asked Lincoln whether or not he'd be surprised if Vegas took a quarterback at number 7.
That high, yes. I would be surprised because I think they have another option. The only problem that I've ever had when you take a quarterback in the top 10 is that you feel the pressure, whether it be from the fans or just the overall, you know, general feeling that you have to start him. A top 10 quarterback. You don't pick a quarterback in the top 10 and have him sit and watch.
It's interesting because we've seen a couple of teams actually go the opposite way, right? We had San Francisco not start Trey Lance the first year with, hey, guess who's starting? Jimmy G. And then you also have the story of Patrick Mahomes, where he sat 1 year behind Alex Smith. So it has been done before in the league. Would you be surprised if the Raiders drafted a quarterback at 7?
At 7, yeah, I would be, because I think this is a team that's trying to win right now, and so I don't think you use that number 7 pick on a guy who, you know, you're investing in for the future, a year or two down the road where you expect him to be the starting quarterback. But second, third round, if you see a guy there who you think could be a diamond in the rough and you can get a steal, and he might be a little bit of a project and somebody you can work on and mold while Jimmy G does his thing for the next year or two. Yeah, that makes sense to me.
If you love a guy, take the guy. Couldn't care less if it's 7. Could not care less. If you love him,
he doesn't have to play. If you draft a guy in the top 7, he doesn't have to play this year.
And Jimmy Garoppolo is not stopping me pulling the trigger on somebody who I think could be a franchise quarterback for the next 10 to 15 years.
And Jimmy knows that situation. Yeah. You know what I mean? He understands this.
I don't think he'll be happy, but yeah, he would.
He's been on both ends of it. He understands it.
All right, talking about winning now in the quarterback position, Lamar Jackson is out there. Hey, anybody listening? Lamar's available. What is Lincoln Kennedy's take, again, on the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline? What was Lincoln's take on Lamar Jackson, and what's his take right now about nobody seemingly willing to go after him?
I think what we've seen over the past couple of years, you know, from Patrick Mahomes' contract to Deshaun Watson's contract, I don't think teams really want to give that much guaranteed money away to a quarterback. It's wrong, but, you know, you see them trying to get further and further away from it. Look, Patrick Mahomes signed a contract extension. Wasn't more or less a new contract. But Deshaun Watson's contract in Cleveland really set a lot of people off guard because that first year he couldn't play. So it's sad, but it's also got to remember it's business. And one of the things that businesses, especially NFLs, they want to control their overhead. They're always going to try to control their overhead. And most teams do not want to negotiate a contract or negotiate a deal from somebody to come back and just state, you know, say, okay, we'll give you those terms if you come to us. So they're trying to play the wait and see game. But, you know, they're ruining feelings. They're hurting feelings. It's one of those things where guys can't take it personal. It's business.
So financial, says Lincoln.
Yeah, people can, everything Lincoln said made sense. Something fishy is going on here with Lamar Jackson. That not one, I'm sorry, and you, Nick, you've explained it in terms of NFL finances and what it would cost to get Lamar Jackson. Lincoln Kennedy explained it right. There are logical explanations as to why this is happening, and that's why there's plausible deniability. If real collusion allegations are put out there, they'll have plausible deniability, and they'll be able to say, look, we didn't go after him because of X, Y, and Z.
Right.
And this guy is in his mid-20s. He has a unanimous MVP under his belt. Very few people have won games at the clip that he has since he's come into this league. He's dynamic talent at the most important position in North American sports, and not one team is willing to go out there and take a gamble on him and give him what he's looking for. Or give the Ravens what they're looking for. That does not add up to me. Something fishy's going on in the NFL.
So there you have it. The callback with Lincoln Kennedy of the radio broadcast for the Raiders on the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. We still have a lot to get to here. Still got one more segment. We got to talk about Aaron Rodgers. Did Aaron Rodgers get caught lying? And about what? That's next.
You merely adopted the dark.
Rami, you might not know this.
I know everything.
But while you were gone, man, you were close to getting Wally Pipped.
Really?
The guy JJ.
I believe it.
He almost Wally Pipped you.
I believe it.
They gave him the ball. He ran with it.
Give JJ a mic. Let him go.
And I give JJ credit because he had Kyle producing.
What does that mean?
And let me explain.
Why are you throwing our guy Kyle under the bus?
I'm not throwing him under the bus.
Okay.
Let me explain. So, Kyle.
I thought there was a very colorfully dressed corpse under the bus there. Sorry.
Not as colorfully as usual. He did have some interesting things going on. But remember when Kyle said, like, he plays his own bump music, his rejoin music?
Mm-hmm.
And we asked him, he's like, what'd he say? I'd like to add flavor.
His flavor, yes.
And I just thought JJ was very good with not punching him in the face, because JJ is the tone of the show.
Yes.
When it comes to music and
he
all that.
He curates the playlist and the sound of the show.
And so not only was JJ, like, you know, close to Wally Pipping you, he also did a great job of keeping his patience and in any hostility. I could not tell if there was any hostility towards Kyle, as Kyle just took JJ's music and threw it in the garbage for a few days.
That is true. I will admit, you did. You helped me out quite a bit there, Nick. You're coming back doing a great job.
You weren't here the last time I worked with our buddy Kyle.
Yes.
But I texted him before the show. I was like, hey, man, I know you like to throw your own flavor and style into the show, but maybe just once an hour you throw your flavor and style into the show, and the rest of the returns, keep it to the playlist. Keep it to the show has a sound, and it's about our sound, not Kyle's sound.
Well, he took that advice from you and apparently just forgot that advice. When you were no longer on the show, because we had Kyle's flavor back in the mix for a solid few days.
There was a couple times I said, Nick is going to say something. And then you just professional. Just Harrison Barnes. Just straightforward, brother.
Well,
hey, look, every time we lose, we run Harrison Barnes out there, as you seen yesterday again, right? Post game. We go run Nick out there. Consummate professional. Thank you, Nick. The Harrison Barnes of the Cattles and Rami show.
There was a lot going on last week. I felt like the music was the last of our concerns.
That's fair.
I was more just trying to keep the train on the tracks last week.
That's fair.
But
all you can do.
A lot of credit to JJ. Again, did a great job on the air and also did not choke out Kyle off the air. So I think a win with both of those things. Before we bid you adieu on this Tuesday, the never-ending soap opera in the NFL is one Aaron Rodgers.
I love it.
Oh, you think darkness is your ally.
And it continues to happen. Robert Saleh.
That was Brian Gutekunst when he came up.
Jets head coach Robert Saleh. Of course, you know, he's at the owners' meetings. I could just imagine what Saleh was thinking as he flew to these owners' meetings, knowing he's like, I'm going to be asked about Rodgers. I know it. He was so ready for this question.
I'm gonna ask from all these questions, I can't even answer, man.
Here was Saleh and how he handled it.
To be honest, I got nothing on that one, guys. It's the obviously he's still with another team, so I'm just not gonna talk about it. It takes two to tango, so it's just it's a process. We respect the process, and whenever it gets done, it'll get done.
Yeah, whenever it gets done, it's gonna get done. It is going to get done. We all know that it's going to get done. We are just sitting around waiting.
It's such a pointless standoff at this point, isn't it? Between the Jets and the Packers?
It reminds me of like something like my dad would say about somebody, you know, in the complex he lives in, where it's like you might have two older gentlemen who are just stubborn.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just fighting over the same thing over and over and over again. It's like, no, I was going to use the washer. I'm using the washer. Just something stupid and trivial.
Right.
It feels like the Packers and the Jets are just staring at each other at this point going, all right, who's going to break first? We're not going to give in. Well, we're not going to give in.
I don't understand it.
We're just going to. My only hope is that the draft brings urgency. Like, I have to imagine that the Packers want picks. And I know we'll get to Gutekunst in a minute and what he said, but I know Gutekunst has come out recently, said they don't need necessarily a first-round pick. That, to me, shows at least a little bending on the side of the Packers, right? I mean, it's not because publicly they wouldn't say that if they were really trying to draw a hard price.
Yeah.
So this could be the Jets just trying to get away with just a laughable deal, which if you're the Jets, why would you not at least try? Because everybody knows Rodgers wants to go play for the Jets. So at this moment, you're like, well, we know he wants to play for us. He's not going to go anywhere else. You guys can't bring him back. That ain't going to happen. So how about a fourth-round pick?
I feel like now we've come to the point where the Jets and the Packers are P. Diddy and that dude in the GIF, you know, where they're just staring at each other.
Yeah. The dude with the funny hair kind of looks like Odell Beckham a little bit. Yeah.
I feel like they are those two people now just sitting there waiting for the other to be like, all right, fine, I sign off on
your
this.
Your analogy way better than my dad analogy.
That's I see where you were going, Nick. You just didn't execute it.
I didn't land the plane. It's like one of those things I was thinking of on the fly, and it's the end of the show. It's 4 hours
GIFs, Nick. Thinking GIFs.
My brain died for 5 seconds.
2023.
So what about Brian Gutekunst, the GM of the Packers? Well, he was asked about the communication with Rodgers.
Another guy who's dreading.
Obviously, it was a disappointing season, right? And you come out of the season, you have a lot of conversations, not only with Aaron, but with the rest of the team, coaches and everybody. And as you go through that process, you kind of get an idea of where you're going to move to, you know, as a team, how you're going to go forward. And I think I was really looking forward to the conversations with Aaron to see how he fit into that. Those never transpired. So, there came a time where we kind of had to make some, decisions. So we went through his representatives to try to kind of talk to him where we were going with our team. And at that point, they informed us they would like to be traded to the Jets.
So it's like if your dad has a neighbor and they have a tree.
You can try this again.
Yes.
Okay.
That's kind of split between the two
hanging over
properties.
Your fence.
Yes.
Right.
And you want them to chop the tree down on your side. I've seen this a lot on Judge Judy. You want them to chop the tree down on your side.
Sure.
And they won't give in because they're saying, well, it's on your side.
It's on
but
your
you're saying
side.
It's your tree.
Right.
And you just battle over it. That's what I was getting to.
Okay.
Do you think Brian Gutekunst was really looking forward to having conversations with Rodgers?
No.
Do you think he was like staying up at night like, I can't. Is he going to call me? What are we going to talk about?
I'm sure he wanted to talk to him, but not. I don't think it was a conversation he was looking forward to necessarily having. No, the Packers didn't want Aaron Rodgers back after this year.
Yeah,
they made that clear. And so, I don't know about you, Nick. I find myself, and maybe this is just because I'm more often, well, in every case, the employee versus the employer. I relate to Aaron Rodgers much more than I do Brian Gutekunst and the Packers in this whole thing.
I think that plays a role.
Because if I get the sense you don't want me, if the message, the picture has already been painted clearly, you don't want me, well, then let's just move on.
Dude,
I don't
it?
Need to talk
See,
to you.
See, but is your premise correct, though? Because that's what Rodgers wants you to believe.
Yeah.
Rodgers wants you to believe that, they just didn't want me, right? He said that all of a sudden he came out of the cave or whatever the hell. And things had changed.
I didn't see the light until I was already a man.
Yeah, I was already a man. So he said, I came out of my little hobbit hole, and all of a sudden things had changed. Everything was different. They didn't want me. Well, Gutekunst thought about the communication. Again, here he is about whether or not he tried to make contact with Rodgers.
Yeah, I didn't really take his comments like that, and it's certainly not true. I mean, I think, as we got out of the offseason or after the season, and we had a good conversation, and then, we're going to have some follow-up conversations. And our inability to reach him or for him to respond in any way, I think at that point, then we just kind of I had to do my job and kind of reach out and understanding that a trade could be possible and see who was interested. But that shopping was never really part of that.
So Gutekunst is saying we weren't shopping him. I tried to reach out, couldn't get a hold of him. He wouldn't respond. So at a certain point in time as the GM, I had to at least think of the idea and entertain the idea of trading him. So who do you believe?
I believe Rodgers.
Why?
Because he
tried ayahuasca or whatever the hell
it's
called?
Yes. No, because he wasn't the one who set this whole thing in motion, Nick. This all goes back to them drafting Jordan Love and trying to push Aaron Rodgers out the door. That's where this whole thing started. And Aaron Rodgers' whole pushback was, I don't want to go anywhere.
Well, you're wrong. That's how we'll end it.
Okay.
Thanks to J.J. Grange, as always. Fantastic stuff. Rami, it was awesome to have you back, buddy.
Good to be back.
Like riding a bike, as they say.
Yes, sir.
Back tomorrow. Till then, Cattles and Rami, Sacktown Sports.